Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 26 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life. Well, today we're going to be talking about organizing your emotions and optimizing your life while you're at it with our expert, Margaret Moore. But before we dive into this, just know that this episode of Her is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix, customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, please go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and please rate this podcast and review us. Hey, I read these things. It's entertaining to say the least, and I want to hear from you. All your thoughts, every single one of them. So please rate and review. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
And on this episode, well, the name of the book is Organize Your Emotions and Optimize Your Life. Yeah, that's the name of the whole episode too. Our expert is Margaret Moore, who is a dear friend and colleague as well. She's a 17-year veteran of the biotech industry in the U.S., U.K., Canada, France. In 2000, Margaret founded Well Coaches Corporation in strategic partnership with the American College of Sports Medicine. You know, I'm a fellow of that college too, which has trained more than 10,000 health professionals as health and wellness coaches in 45 countries. Margaret is co-founder and co-director of the Institute of Coaching at McLean Hospital, a Harvard Medical School affiliate, and co-director of the annual Coaching and Leadership in Healthcare Conference offered by Harvard Medical School. Margaret also teaches a Science of Coaching Psychology program at Harvard University Extension School. She co-founded and co-leads the National Consortium for Credentialing Health and Wellness Coaches. Good Lord, we could go on forever and a day. I think I've gone through two birthdays just reading this. I'm exhausted. Margaret, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Pam. Yes, thank you. Please stop. Let's get on to something more interesting.
Oh my gosh, that's why we have, you know, this podcast, so I can't really see you. I know you're just blushing. You're just blushing away.
No,
so
I never did
that.
How
did you get the idea to write this book? What was going on?
Yes, well, I the last book was Organize Your Mind, Organize Your Life, and Pam, you know, I have a very organized mind, and I am, you know, have been intensely curious about my emotions. You know, I've never been content to just sit and watch them float by like clouds, and so I did some training in internal family systems practice, and learned that the mind isn't quite what it seems. It's actually made up of discrete and independent, kind of like life forces, independent entities in the mind. And I really wanted to figure out what those were. And so basically I used my emotions as to help me figure out, you know, what all this was all about. And I discovered there were really 9 discrete life forces that speak to us through our emotions and our voices and all kinds of other sensations. And I've just gone on from there to, you know, understand more and more about that. I validated it with hundreds of clients and then wrote the book with 2 co-authors. So, you know, today there really isn't a map for human emotions. There's really nowhere to go to get a guide. Like, we know the top 5, joy, disgust, sadness, fear, and anger. And, you know, they were portrayed really well in the Pixar movie Inside Out. But that's not really enough. And so really this book and these 9 life forces really gives us a map. So when we're angry, we can figure out which part of us is angry for what reason. When we're sad, similarly. And once you do that, then you begin to decode kind of your genetic code. You know, because your emotions are telling you what your needs are. And if they're negative, then your needs aren't being met. And if they're positive, they are. So it's a way, really, in to what is inherently, you know, the recipe for you to thrive by, you know, sort of tracking down your emotions and figuring out what they have to say and then building on that.
I think so many women out there in her podcast land, you know, are saying to themselves, oh, my gosh. All I seem to be able to do with my emotions is just let them, you know, run roughshod all over me. And those first five emotions, especially, you know, with regard to anger and fear and all the rest of it. And sometimes it seems such like mission impossible trying to understand and manage them. I don't like the word control, manage them. So what, you know, understanding that you have these inner voices, what are some easy early first steps that a woman could take to begin to absorb all of this and learn?
Yes. So thankfully, you know, I did the hard work of mapping it. So
and we thank you for that.
That will make it a little easier for everyone else. So, you know, one of the fiercest parts of our human psyche is our autonomy voice, which speaks for self-interest and, you know, marching to our own drummer. And that part of us gets really angry when other people step on our toes and tell us what to do. And so just knowing that that's where it's coming from, you know, like this person's really taking advantage of me, you know, they're not looking out for my interests. And so, you know, that's an easy one. Another big one is, you know, gosh, I mean, how many of us have self-doubt? You know, we're confident on one moment and the next moment we're like, you know, on the floor saying, I can't do this. And so that kind of self-doubt and, you know, fear that I'm going to fail, that's our confident part. And, you know, it's good to recognize that one as well. Another is our relational part, because we also, you know, what's interesting is that we have often just as equal a power, and everybody's different, but many of us have just as equal and powerful need to put others first. So now you've got conflict. Because one part of you wants to put yourself first, and that's, of course, critical, and another part wants to put others first. And now you've got the beginnings of an inner conflict. You know, you've got one part angry, and then the other part saying, yeah, but put this person first, because that's really good for us, and that feels good, too. So, you know, so that need for connection, that need to serve others is also pretty powerful. So you can kind of go down the list. Another one is the sense of the adventurer. You know, the part of us that really likes to take risks and wants change. I mean, this is my online shopper. You know, it's always looking for the latest new design.
Wait a minute. Put that magazine down now. You're doing an interview.
Yeah, when I get bored, you know. No, it's my secret, you know. When I get bored and it's a phone meeting, guess where I am, you know. I'm looking for the...
How interesting.
And that, you know why that is, Pam? Because I've been in the same job, the same house, same marriage for you know, a long time. 18, 19 years. And so I need more adventure. And so I know I'm really in deep doo-doo with my bank account when I go online shopping. So anyway, that just gives you an example of how you can kind of understand what's the source of this emotion that I'm having that seems to be hijacking me. And I just find it so freeing to just accept, gosh, you know, that's a part of me, and I have a strong need for that. And therefore,
well, you know, that's okay. Well, you know, I think a lot of women also struggle with what you would call the meaning maker, the meaning maker. And that is, what is this powerful part of the human inner family, as it were, in our brain, that helps propel us through each day? You know as well as I do that I'm a firm believer in sort of a purpose-driven and meaning-driven life. You know, you get up in the morning and, you know, if you've got that fire burning in your belly, that passion, all the rest of it, that meaning maker, how does someone get in touch with their meaning maker?
Well, you know, I'm going to intentionally change my energy right now because I want you and listeners to get that the meaning maker, you know, has a different tune. You know, when I was just speaking a moment ago with all that excitement, you know, that was my adventure, my creative, you know, just wanting to have everybody discover this and, you know, and use it for to make their lives better. But the meaning maker is has a very different energy. It's slower, it's quieter, it's more thoughtful, it's more reflective. It's why what people want to plug into when they're praying or when they're meditating. We all have this yearning to tune into the wisdom of the moment, and it's often very hard because there's this cacophony of voices and emotions, and the meaning maker, that wisdom, that inner coach, gets drowned out. And so one of the most important benefits of some stillness in your day, you know, real, like when you put the inner family out to play, out you go.
That's a great way to put it. I like it. I like it.
Get out to your orbits. Leave me some peace for
right.
a moment.
Leave me alone already.
Yeah, go or sit. Sometimes they won't go outside, but they can sit around the campfire. You know, at least they can be quiet. It's really like that. You know, they all want to talk. So you got to get them all, like, you know, sitting around the campfire, out to play, and just sit and listen. And the meaning and the wisdom. I mean, I do this every morning. I go through each of the nine to kind of understand the emotional weather report of the day. And when I get to the meaning maker, I take a few deep breaths. I come into a quiet, still place where I can hear the noise in my brain, or I can hear my heartbeat. So I'm really in a still place, or feel my breathing. And then the wisdom just stays right there. I write it down, and it's usually the thing I need for that moment. I find it harder to get to in the middle of the day when you're in full flight, and I also find it hard often at the end of the day when I'm tired. So for me, when I can get to it, it's in the morning. And I, frankly, Pam, I put that ahead of just about everything else first thing in the morning.
I love that. And you know, I'm a nutcase about, you know, people really connecting with that inner self in a big way. I mean, I think we've kind of bagged the old stereotype of you got to be some kind of, you know, earthy, crunchy, and all of this is new age, hoo-ha. Now, science is really behind this in a major way, and I really think that people are missing out big time if they're not taking that time to be able to just, as it were, check in. You know, many times I don't use that word meditate. I oftentimes will just say, have you checked in with yourself? Because, you know, I think it's very woman-friendly vernacular. Because, you know, we as women, we check in with everybody. We check in with our, you know,
yes, that's a good
partners,
word.
The guy next door, our coworkers, our colleagues, whatever, you know, family members, friends. But when's the last time you ever checked in with yourself? And that's an interesting question, which also brings us to the body regulator. Because, you know, when you're doing this check-in, aren't you also connecting with your body as well, your breaths and all the rest of it? How does that coordinate with, you know, this meaning maker?
Yeah, so the body regulator is a really interesting one. And I think for you and I, it's probably got a strong voice because we pay such attention to what we eat and how we exercise and sleep. And it's the voice for good health, for physical vitality, for stability. You know, you think about the body's physiological systems. What's the natural order? There is a cycle. It's a homeostasis. You know, you've got up and down, you know, breathing in and out, heartbeat up and down. It's a very, there are clocks within clocks within clocks. Things are well oiled, you know, when the body's working well. And that's the way it's intended. And the body regulator in today's world definitely gets trampled on, you know, for most people. It has to take one for the team. You know, it's got to put up with not enough sleep, with lousy food, with not enough movement, with not enough downtime. You know, this is
oh, welcome to America.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or any woman's life.
Yeah, and you know what? This is also the voice for, which I think is why our planet's in such terrible shape. This is the voice that understands sustainability.
Ooh.
This is the part of us that aches with the, you know, with the damage to nature, you know, and to animal species going extinct, and you know, and droughts, and you know, this is the part of us that really tunes in and really gets that. The way Native Indians do, you know, where they feel the needs of Mother Nature, and I think because we don't tune into it, then we just don't tune into what we're doing to our planet, and we just don't feel it. And if you don't feel it, you can ignore it. So I think the body regulator, kind of like the meaning maker, you know, it goes by a quieter, gentler rhythm, you know. And the other thing to say about it is that it if we don't listen to it, then it speaks to us via sensations like pain, sharp pains, or stomach aches, or headaches. You know, it gets its message across. And I remember my dear deceased father used to say, you know, sometimes it whispers, and sometimes it yells.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's there. It's always there. It's just as important. I mean, we wouldn't be alive without this part of our, the psychic part, you know, the psychic expression of our body's needs. So, yes, so thanks for asking about that one, because it is so important. And, boy, you know, if we take care of it, it takes care of us. There is no doubt.
Well,
about
you
that.
Know, you just mentioned mind and body. So we were talking about, you know, the meaning maker and the body regulator. So there's a beautiful choreography and interplay between those. And that then helps us with another inner voice, which is relational. And the relational one is so terribly important. You know, how are we connecting with others? That sort of falls under the bailiwick of sustainability too, because what we're really talking about is long-term ongoing connectivity. How does that relational inner
voice? Well, I'm glad that you mentioned this one next, because one way to think about the nine, if you're a little overwhelmed with nine, is to think about them as three teams of three. And what I would say are the foundational, the grounding parts of us are the meaning maker, because that grounds us in wisdom and purpose, which is very grounding. The body regulator, which really literally grounds us physically in terms of our energy and connection with, you know, the physicality of being human. But the relational, the interconnection of all things, is another foundational piece. It's fundamental to, you know, interconnection. I mean, if you think about the interconnection of humans and or living organisms and plants, you know, we breathe in our oxygen and they breathe out. We're so interdependent with everything. And we often, especially in this culture, which is pretty individualistic, we just discount just how interconnected we are. We discount how much who we are is you know, related to the people around us in the given moment. The you know, the attachment needs of an infant are colossal. You know, our needs for interconnection, for compassion, for deep relationships, for trust, for loyalty, for love, for serving others. You know, it may, in fact, you know, for the most part, the meaning of life for all of us is serving others in some way. So it also cycles back to that. So, yeah, that's a very critical one. And you know, these three, these foundational parts of us are in our society are not getting enough attention, because we put so much emphasis on achievement in this world. Achievement, being competent, you know, getting things done. You know, the workplace is a place where we're all about performance and achievement, and those parts of us have become way, 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 way over-sculpted, and that means that most of us are lacking the foundation we need in life. And then, you know, then autonomy and the creative and the adventure are the self-expression, self-determination parts, which are all about, you know, really being me and using, you know, all my brilliance and all my sense of adventure and my bravery and courage. So I think, you know, you're really getting at this, you know, we're neglecting our foundation, we're overusing our achievement team, and we're not accessing our full life, our full creative, adventurous, autonomous life force.
Well, you notice I deliberately didn't, you know, hop immediately to the standard setter and the executive manager, because that's what people expect. They're like, oh, okay, let's tap into the brain's, you know, inner sanctum, and let's see if we can get smarter and do something faster, be more productive, et cetera, et cetera. And then we have to look at our own standard setting. Where did that come from? How high is the bar? Where's perfectionism kick in, et cetera, et cetera,
yeah.
Let alone the executive manager. Why didn't you get that thing done on time, et cetera, et cetera? That's why I wanted to talk about those other, you know, voices first, because they're the ones that are forgotten. They're the ones that are not acknowledged. They're not fully appreciated or optimized. And, you know, the title of your book is Organize Your Emotions, Optimize Your Life. And I don't see how it's possible to optimize your life unless you really look at the entire spectrum of these inner voices.
Yes, basically what happens is that if you think about these as having evolved over the millennia, and in the book we have a narrative, one can never know what actually happened, but one can imagine how these each would have been polished through evolution, and there's no reason to think that they're not all equal in or pretty close to equal. Now, each of us have a different genetic makeup. So for instance, I have a lot more autonomy than a lot of people, which isn't that easy at times. Which means I struggle with the balance between the relational and autonomy. That just comes with, you know, being me. So we each have our own particular makeup. But because most of us have, because our lives and our culture have sculpted, over-sculpted certain parts of us, you know, you just have to look at our presidential candidates to see that in full force. What happens is that we're just not thriving because we're a lot of our energy, if you think about these as like sources of energy, big sources of energy, basically we've got a lid on them. And, you know, if we're looking for new ways to increase productivity and performance, ironically, it's really about downplaying the parts of us that overemphasize that and giving more voice to being more creative, more adventurous, more autonomous, because those parts of us are not thriving in today's world. They're neglected. I mean, creativity is, you know, pushed off the agenda early in our schooling. I was reading recently on a book on curiosity that Clay Christensen in Harvard Business School says that the level of curiosity in Harvard business students has dropped significantly in the last 20 years.
Wow.
You know, because we're all staring at our devices, and we've lost the urge to be curious and open. Instead, we're just in react mode. So we really are leaving a lot of life force on the table collectively.
There's no question.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now that, you know, we're looking at how all of this interplays, there's one that really hits home with women in a big way, and we bring this up in a variety of different venues on the Her podcast, but it's confidence. It's that sense of confidence, and how that plays out with all of these different inner voices, when the standard setter's giving confidence a smackdown, you know, when the executive manager's giving confidence a smackdown, and it goes on and on. How does a woman specifically, because it's quite gender specific, deal with this issue of lack of confidence, which is so common?
Yeah, I know. I mean, how many of us? I mean, I still, even though I really understand this model, and if you ask my husband, he would say the main thing that has grown in me through this work, this intense work around understanding all this, is my confidence. You know, so I and even with that, I still have 3 a.m. in the morning, you know, bad dreams or wake up in a, you know, oh my God, I'm going to screw this up. I don't know what the origin is. I mean, I think there's a physical coordinate because, you know, men have more muscle mass and they're bigger and they can lift more, they can, you know, they can do more. And it may well be that early in our childhood, we just feel less than because we're smaller and not as strong and not as fast. And, you know, we don't have the physicality. And so that might contribute to it. I think it did for me because the reason I got fit and lift weights is because that's one of the biggest contributors to my confidence is to know that I'm strong. I mean, I really depend on that, and that's definitely a mind-body connection. If I feel like I can lift weight and I can see my muscles, I feel stronger than, you know, and so in my teenage years, I started to get fit for that reason. I wasn't any athlete, but so I think that's part of it. Maybe there's something in our genetics, which means that we just don't have the same blustery confidence that men have. We have to work at it more. But, you know, one of the lessons that I've learned is to understand the dynamic between the standard setter that's setting the bar for achievement, which in our culture sets it too high. That is a cultural phenomenon, especially when it comes to body image for women. You know, there's a cultural, you know, expectation. There's a cultural expectation around performance, and what that does is it leads your confidence to say, I can't do that. So now you have anger, do it, you know, hit that bar, you loser, you, and then confidence, like almost in tears, saying, but I can't. And so that's, you know, unintentionally self-inflicted. And so one of the most important lessons, science-based lessons that we've gotten in this last 10 years or so is from Carol Dweck, which is the growth mindset, which is that, you know, instead of focusing on looking good and meeting that bar, focus on learning and growing and getting better. And if you can shift your focus to that, then your confidence will smile. So, yeah, I can do that. I can get better.
I'm always getting better. I just love it. Wow. You know, as I'm listening to you gracefully, you know, interweave through all of these inner voices, you really have a knack, Margaret, for making this doable. You know, you've taken high-level psychology and coaching science, and you've offered in your book, Organize Your Emotions, Optimize Your Life, very accessible and realistic tips, tools, and techniques to be able to make all of this come alive. And, you know, when I read through it, I really considered this book to be an incredible gift to so many women out there who are really trying to begin to feel as though they have more power and understanding of what's going on, what drives them on a daily basis. So
right.
Bringing all this together, if you're listening, you know, with all these women now listening to the Her podcast, and they're listening to you, Margaret. All right. So if they're just on the fence, or maybe you're talking them off a ledge, and they're in that place in their life, what kind of hopeful wisdom can you impart as your closing comments?
Well, you know, one of the most important lessons you get first is that whenever you feel upset or stressed or, you know, hijacked by some negative emotion and you just can't seem to get, you know, separated from it, it's like clinging to you like a koala bear. The first thing to remember is that it's just one part of you. It's not all of you. And if you can see it as something, if you can treat it as third person, and there's research around this, if you can say, this is a part of me feeling angry, just simply making that distinction and separating, you know, giving, you know, getting the koala bear, you know, like just an inch away, you can get some distance from it and you can access other parts of you that can help. And so just knowing that, you know, you've got a lot of resource in there is that you're not using. And as soon as you realize you have it, then you can start to become more agile and you can start to sort of step back and say, a part of me is angry, but not all of me. So that's I think, the first thing you learn. The second thing to realize is that this is universal. We're all dealing with this. And so instead of thinking, gosh, am I insane? Like, all this inner chaos, really? Like, am I nuts? You know, we're not. It really is the truth of being human is that it is multiple. And that means you never know what's going to happen next.
Oh, that's
so true. You
never
know which part of you is going to react in what way. You've no idea how you're going to feel tomorrow morning. You have no idea how. You really just have to start to enjoy the ride and realize that there's like way more stuff subconscious that you don't even know anything about. So you might as well just sit back and enjoy it and stop, you know, feeling badly that you feel out of control. You know, just do your best.
Well, I love this. Margaret, those are just such beautiful wrap-up summary words of wisdom. Everyone out there, we've been talking to Margaret Moore. She is the author of Organize Your Emotions, Optimize Your Life. Learn more about the book, organizeyouremotions.com is the website you want to grab. And then just get the book. This book is so good. And you'll come back to it time and time again. It's just got a huge wealth of knowledge in, what can I say? It's a treasure chest. So grab it. And then another wonderful website to learn more about Margaret's work as a coach is Coach Meg, M-E-G, coachmeg.com. Ah, this has been fabulous. Organize your emotions, optimize your life, everybody out there in her podcast land. Margaret, thank you for all of your words of wisdom here on the podcast and for being with us.
Well,
all
thank
right.
you, Pam.
Welcome.
It's just a great pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And again, it's just such a wonderful moment to share all of this with you because you're such a great friend and colleague, and to hear how you've synthesized this in yet another fabulous best-selling book. Yeah. Rock on, Margaret. All right, everybody. Remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Because we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And that happens when you take the time to rate it. While you're at it, can you leave a review as well? You know, I read these things. I want to hear from you. Every single one of you. So thanks in advance. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Please follow me on Twitter at PamPeakeMD. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.